ॐ ध्यायामोदबलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मदसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। Shankara continued with the sadhana. So the next sadhana he mentions in the 115th shloka. Anganam samatam vidyat same brahmani linatam no chet naiva samanatvam rajutvam shushka vrikshavat. So the next sadhana that Shankara speaks about is having a steady or straight body. So you can translate it into, like the site translates it into, equipoise of the body. Each and every part of the body remaining straight and stable. So that is the sadhana that Shankara is next mentioning. And it is maintaining a straight body is very important in the Yoga Shastram as well as in Tantram as well. So both Yoga Shastram as well as Tantra Shastram, Tantra Shastram directly and Yoga Shastram indirectly depends on the Kundalini Shakti. So the Kundalini Shakti is that dormant snake power which is dormant in, which is like kind of coiled in the Mooladharam. And once a person does sadhana, so different types of sadhanas are done in order to awaken the Kundalini Shakti. Once the Kundalini Shakti wakes up, then it moves through a passage. That passage is what we call as Sushumna Nadi. So it can be loosely equated with the spinal cord, what we call as spinal cord, though nadis are not physical. Nadis are something which is like more towards subtle. It's not exactly subtle, but still it is not that gross as we consider it. So nadis are mostly like part of sushmam. So it is a subtle thing, not, and we can't consider it as something which is gross. We can't find it like the bone. If we loosely translate nadi, then it can be considered as bone. But our body consists of thousands of nadis, whereas the, as per science, a body consists of only 206 or 204. I don't remember the exact number. Bones. So it's not bone exactly, but it's part of the Sukshma Sharira. That's what Anandagiri also confirms it. But the point is that Sushumna Nadi is the passage through which Kundalini Shakti, when it wakes up, it moves. So it moves up through the Sushumna Nadi or the spinal cord that we call, and it moves higher and higher and higher, finally reaches the head or Sahasraram. So there is even a Nadi in the head, on the middle portion of the head, the top middle portion of the head, which is called Brahmarandram. So it is a nadi or an opening. It's not exactly a nadi, but it's an opening. So it's called Brahmarandram. So it is that opening or that portion through which a Mahatma's soul or the Mahatma's Atman leaves the body. So once the soul leaves the body through the Brahmarandram, then there is no more return. So yad gatvana nivartante. So once, for a realized saint, there is only prarabdha karmam. Shankara himself has refuted that. That is from the ajnani's viewpoint. There is only prarabdham for the mahatma, for the jnani. So the atman which is residing in the body of the jnani, that when it leaves the body, when it is time to get rid of the body, वासांसि जीर्णानि यथा विहाय नवानि गृह्णाति नरोपराणि तथा शरीराणि विहाय जीर्णानि अन्यानि संयामि नवामि देहि. सो कृष्ण इन द सेकेंड चैप्टर स्पीक्स अबाउट द आत्मन लीविंग वन बॉडी एंड टेकिंग अनदर बॉडी इवन एज ए पर्सन गेट्स रिड ऑफ ओल्ड क्लोथ इन ऑर्डर टू वेयर न्यू क्लोथ. सो फॉर ए ज्ञानी व्हेन द आत्मन लीव्स द बॉडी देर इज नो मोर बॉडी अगेन बिकॉज देर इज नो संचित कर्मम एंड आगामी कर्मम एंड एज पर हिज पर्सपेक्टिव देर इज नो प्रारब्धम एज वेल. फॉर द अज्ञानी ही सीम्स टू बी विद द बॉडी एंड फ्रॉम द अज्ञानी पर्सपेक्टिव द आत्मन लीव्स द बॉडी. द आत्मन विच इज द ज्ञानी हू इज रिसाइडिंग इन अ पर्टिकुलर बॉडी दैट लीव्स थ्रू द ब्रह्मरंध्रम. When it leaves through the Brahmarandram top opening of the head, then there is no more birth again. But in normal cases, we see that people when they die, they have their eyes open or mouth open. So the Atman or the soul leaves the body through one of the sense organs, one of the openings. So Navadvare Pure Dehi. So in Navadvaram, Krishna speaks about the Shariram being a town which has nine openings. So the two eyes, two nose, one mouth, two ears. So that makes it up for seven. And then the opening for like procreation and opening for excretion. So that makes it nine. So through any of these openings, when the Atman leaves the body, then it has samskaram, it has vasana, it has karma. Therefore, it will be born again. He will have to take birth again. So, there is Sanchita Karma. So, that is the reason why sadhakas should always ensure that they don't add to Agami and Sanchitam. So, Sanchitam gets completely removed. Sanchitam gets completely negated through Jnanam. And through Jnanam, the future karma, the karma like that we are supposed to do in this particular birth. That means prarabdham is that which sustains this life, the current time, and the karma, that the future karma in this birth is called agami karma. So that what we do now gets partly converted into agami and partly into sanchitam. And when this birth ends, then agami gets completely converted into sanchitam. Again, Sanchitam gets converted into Prarabdham, it goes on. So, a sadhaka should ensure that he doesn't add any Sanchitam or Agami. That means he shouldn't add any Agami Karma. Future Karma, whenever he is doing an action now, it adds on to Agami. So, he should ensure that he doesn't do that. But like for a jnani, there is no Agami because he is not associated with the doer of ego. He is the Sakshi Atman. Navadware Pure Dehi Naiva Kurvan Na Karayan. The Navadware Pure Dehi 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 Nityam Avadhyoyam Dehesmin Bharata Sarvato. I forgot the shloka. So Dehi and Deham, Kshetrajna and Kshetram. The body is the Deham and the Dehi is the Atman. And the Dehi who resides in the Navadvara Puram. In that puram, which has, in that town or house which has nine openings, he naiva kurvan na karayan, naiva kurvan, he doesn't do anything, na karayan, neither is he responsible for doing. So he doesn't directly do actions, nor is he indirectly responsible for action, because he is a sakshi. So for a jnani, there is no sanchitam and agami, and as per Shankara, there is no prarabdham as well. So when this body falls off, then there is no more body to be, there is nothing to be continued. So with this birth, everything gets ended. So that's called Brahmarandram. So as per Tantra system as well, we can say that the Kundalini Shakti, when it is awakened, it rises higher until it reaches the Sahasraram. And then it attains moksham. So the jnani, like his soul at the end of his birth or while living itself, it goes out of the Brahmarandram and he dies. The body dies and he becomes a Nitya Mukta or ever liberated person. So there is also like one incident in Swami Ramakrishnananda's life with Amma. It seems like once Swamiji asked Amma about Brahmarandram, and Amma like told him to touch her head. So when he touched Amma's head, like he could find that it was not physical. It was something like it was like slippery and as if it was a what you can call like it was not fat and flesh like as our entire body is made of. It was very soft, and it seems like he could feel that. So that though we if we go and touch Amma's head, we may not feel it because it's like things are not as they seem to be. It's all the perspective vision. So, and for a jnani, for a Mahatma, like it's possible to veil things. He can veil so that like everybody doesn't see it. So it's the same way Ishvara. Ishvara deludes people through his Maya power so that not everybody sees this. Naham prakasha sarvasya. So Krishna says in the seventh chapter, Naham prakasha sarvasya. Though I am the light which is always there, yet I cannot really be perceived. I cannot be clearly perceived by all. Why? Mohamaya samavratah. Because I'll veil people by Mohamayam. Mohamayam or Yoga Maya Samavrataha. My Yoga Maya veils people, therefore I am not seen by all. And out of thousands of people, Bahunam Janmanamante Jnanavan Mam Prapadyate. Like after thousands or like after lakhs or crores of birth, a jnani worships me. How does he worship? Vasudeva Sarvam Iti Sammahatma Sudurlabha. Vasudeva Sarvam, he worships everything as Vasudeva, everything as being Ishvara, being Brahman. So Mahatmas are in the state of Ishvara, in the state of like Mahatattvam or whatever, Brahma, Lord Brahma, or controlling Maya, not exactly Nirguna Parabrahman, but Saguna Parabrahman, therefore they can control. So if we go and touch Amma's head, we may not feel Brahmarandram. But coming back, so Kundalini Shakti, when it is awakened and it rises up, that leads us to moksha or the eternal state. And for Vedantins, it is not much importance to awaken Kundalini because through jnanam, Kundalini automatically arises, like is awakened. If we try mechanical ways of awakening Kundalini, so the simplest way to awaken Kundalini is doing pranayama. There are different types of pranayama. So the simplest type of pranayama is 1:4:2. It means like inhalation for 1 second and hold the breath for 4 seconds and exhale for 2 seconds. And do it like inhale through the left nostril, hold it, exhale through the right, and do the other way as well. So if you do for some time, like 1:4:2, like inhalation is 4 seconds, then 16 seconds holding and 8 seconds exhalation. So if a person does that for a few days, then he can feel Kundalini rising. But the problem with mechanical awakening of Kundalini is that it is dangerous. It can get stuck up at some point. So that's the reason why people who are in the spiritual path, they'll be following spirituality like anything, they'll be learning Vedantam, they'll be doing all such things. But somehow Kundalini gets aroused. It gets aroused not naturally, not gradually, but sudden. It's like a scientific process. Like while doing like practical analysis, if something is gradually progressing, then it's fine. If it suddenly progresses, then can lead to an explosion. So what happens is then, like Vedantam, they'll be learning Vedantam as if like they are going to stay away from the world. All of a sudden, one day they will go and marry. So it'll be a sudden diversion. It'll be like 360 degree diversion. So you'll never know like what's happening. 360 degree or 180 degree, or whatever it is. It completely in the opposite direction. So that's what would happen if a person mechanically arouses Kundalini Shakti. And great, the Shad Adharam or the six Adharam, whatever the six chakras are there, the Kundalini, like if it's mechanically aroused, it gets stuck up at one point, and therefore a person gets siddhis depending on that particular state. He doesn't rise higher. Swami Amrita Swarupananda sings very well, equally good as like Yeshudas or Hariharan or like Udit Narayan or any other great singers that we have. But the difference is that for Amrita Swarupananda, it is rising higher. It's going higher because of Amma's grace, because of knowledge. Whereas for other singers like Yeshudas, Hariharan and all, it's stuck up at the Vishuddhi Chakram or the neck kantam place. Therefore, what happens is they get deluded into music. It's the same case with Pandit Jasraj or any great Mahatma who come to Amma, who are Astana Vidwan of Kanchi Mad, who are devotees of Mahatmas, yet they are deluded. Though they may sing like Mandukya Upanishad and other things, like Yeshudas singing songs about Ayyappa, Guruvayurappan, etc., yet it is a delusion. So they are deluded. So that's the problem with mechanically awakening Kundalini. And Kundalini can be awakened only if the passage is straight. So if we have our backs or the body not straight, we don't have the body straight, then Kundalini will get stuck up somewhere and it will get stuck up in between two Adharams. Thereby people will get problems. That's the reason why it's not advisable to do pranayama or even meditation without a guru's presence, without consulting from a guru, because if you do it the wrong way, then it will get stuck somewhere. When it gets stuck somewhere, then it can also lead to death. This is not my words, but even great people who follow yoga like Shivananda and others have proclaimed that if done in the wrong way, if yoga is done in the wrong way, then it can even lead to death. So that is a disadvantage over there, whereas that disadvantage is not there with Vedantam, because it automatically rises. You are not doing anything for it, but because of knowledge, because of the various sadhanas that a person does, it automatically is awakened. And since we are not focusing on Kundalini going higher and higher, therefore it automatically would reach this Sahasraram, leading us to eternal bliss. But the spinal cord or Sushumna Nadi is the basis for the entire body. We know that science as well acknowledges it, that a person whose spine is broken, his entire body is as if broken. So if we have our back straight, then our body is vigilant, or whatever you can call it. Like it's active, really active. And not only the body is active, but the mind also becomes active. That's the reason why in ancient times, like people used to tell that if you are in a particular class, if you are in a class where a teacher is speaking, then try to have your back straight. If your back is straight, then your body is active and your mind is also active, so that we'll be able to apprehend things easily. So keeping the body straight means keeping the Sushumna Nadi straight, keeping the entire body active, not only the body but the mind as well active. So as per Yoga Shastra, mind needs to be active, because it is through the mind that you control the prana. Prana can be controlled through breath and the mind. So both are required. That is why pranayamam starts with control of breath. So control of breath along with mind focusing on the breath, those both are required for controlling prana. So Yoga Shastram as well, it is for in Yoga Shastram or for Yoga Shastram as well, straightening of the body is important. But in Vedantam, straightening of the body is not keeping the body or the physical shariram straight, but it is keeping the mind active. So starting from the other way, starting the other way around, like controlling the body in order to control the mind is what Yoga Shastram says, whereas Vedantam says direct control of the mind, which in turn will ensure that the body is completely active. That is the reason why Mahatmas, great Mahatmas like Ramana Maharshi and Amma, like they may not be physically healthy, physically in good shape like Arnold Schwarzenegger or like any of the Sylvester Stallone or Mr. Universes or people like that yet, or Hrithik Roshan for example, but they will be more powerful, they'll be able to do more physical work than these people. They will be able to not only do physical work through their body, but they'll be able to they'll be able to ensure or make an entire community work. That's the reason why when tsunami hit the entire world, Amma's ashram was also affected by it, and immediately Amma started. Like, Amma didn't waste even 1 minute. Like, she herself, like, there were a lot of people, devotees in the ashram when tsunami hit. Amma was giving darshan. All of a sudden, Amma, after the darshan, she had gone to her room. She suddenly came down and she started the process of evacuating the people in the water, or like whatever was hit, because the ocean was very near to Amma's place. And she didn't stop there. She started visiting places, trying to see people who are affected by it. So that's the advantage of Vedantic straightening of the body, which is straightening of the mind. So at any moment, such a Mahatma, such a saint will be able to do activities that are beyond his physical capabilities. Whereas for people who do Yoga Shastram, we follow Yoga Shastram and the sadhana prescribed by Yoga Shastram, they will not have their mind under control, because they are only trying to control the mind through the control of the body. So not only that, mind is not under control, the body also will not be completely under control, because 1 minute or 1 day they change their routine, then everything goes off. It's like telling that, okay, I couldn't sleep for 6 hours, therefore my eyes get bulged. So things like that will happen. So I didn't eat for 1 day, I didn't sleep properly and eat properly for 1 day, therefore my face is dull. So things like that will happen when a person is not really following Vedantic straightening. And it is Vedantic straightening which is essential for realization, because that concentrates, that focuses on the mind, not only on the mind, but the mind focusing itself on the only reality of Brahman. So Shankara says, Anganam Samatam Vidyat. So having the entire body parts, or all the body parts in equipoise or straight, active, straight, and know that to be the sadhana of straightening the body. And what is that? Same Brahmani Leenatham, Brahmani Same Leenatham. And it is focusing, like emphasizing, or like we should say fixing each and every part of the body on Brahman, on that Brahman who alone exists. That is called straightening of the body. Straightening of the body is when each and every part of the body is chanting the name of Brahman. Each and every part of the body is pulsating with the thought of Brahman. That is possible when the source which controls the body, which is the mind, is filled with Brahman. When the mind is filled with Brahman, when the mind is happy, then that will reflect in the entire body. Even though Ramana Maharshi was suffering from tumor, he had like a lot of trouble, yet he didn't feel any pain in his body. He was not able to find pain. When the doctors came over to remove, to do operation, he didn't have any anesthesia, yet his face was blissful. That is because though his body was in pain, he was able to be blissful because his mind was always fixed on Brahman. So when the mind is blissful, then that will reflect in the entire body. It's very easy to find out whether the mind is being fixed on Brahman, because the body will reflect that. The very body language of the person whose mind is contemplating or fixed on Brahman will reflect bliss in each and every part. So focusing each and every part of the body in Brahman, or focusing the mind on Brahman, is called straightening of the body. And it is not keeping the physical body straight. So keeping the physical body straight is not straightening the body. Why? No chet. Not straightening the physical body is straightening of the body samanatvam naiva. No chet samanatvam naiva. If thought of Brahman, if the mind and each part of the body pulsating about Brahman is not there, then no chet. If it's not there, samanatvam naiva. It is not samanatvam surely. Because it is something which is like insentient, like shushka vrikshavat rajutvam. So it is something which is insentient, like a dried tree. So when the mind is not focused on Brahman, then the physical body will be like a dried tree. Dry tree or a tree which is not living. That is what, when the tree or the parts of the tree dries up, then it means it is not living. So mere if we try to physically straighten the body, physically have the body fully active, then it is not real straightening of the body. It is not Vedantic straightening of the body, because it is like trying to control the body without the control of the mind. Because body is not the focus, like body is not the source of control. Body shouldn't be the focus of control, because body is insentient. It is the mind in which, mind or antakaranam, in which consciousness gets reflected and jiva is created. That is what gives sentience, imparts sentience to the body. And unless we control the mind, controlling of the body is not real control. It's like a dried up tree. So we'll be trying to control the body, yet our mind will not be under control. So it is like a dried up tree which serves no purpose to anyone. So we will be doing yoga daily. We'll be doing 1.5-2 hours yoga. Not just yoga, sadhanas, like 5 hours, 6 hours of sadhana, chanting Lalita Sahasranama, reading spiritual books, listening to discourses, doing meditation. Yet, if our face, if our body doesn't reflect the bliss of Brahman, at least to an extent, then it means that we are seriously lacking in our sadhana. We are doing our sadhana wrong. Because if we are doing those sadhanas in the right way, then our mind will be blissful, thereby our body will reflect that. And that is real straightening of the body. Real straightening of the body is when the mind is focused on Brahman, thereby each and every part of the body spits out Brahman. Even as like we sweat, sweat comes out of the body, from each and every part of the body, instead bliss will emanate from us. So that is what happens around Mahatmas. We just need to be in the presence of a Mahatma to feel that bliss, because they are living in this. They are not doing straightening of the body as a sadhana, but they are living straightening of the body. And they are the people whom we look for this particular sadhana. We can call them references for this sadhana, because they are living this. And we as sadhakas are trying to do this sadhana. So if we want to find out how much we are able to do this straightening of the body, the sadhana of straightening of the body, then we should find out how much bliss we are emanating. And at times, like, we may not be able to even judge it. We may think, okay, I am fully energetic. My roommate says that I am always blissful. I am energetic at all times. But it's like an ignorant person judging another ignorant person. It is futile. So we have to, if we are unable to really find out, then we'll have to seek out people who can really find out. And there is no other person to judge whether we are in the right path than Amma. So we just need to open our hearts to Amma, and then she will guide us as to whether we are doing it right. But never try to judge if you are not really able to judge yourself and you think you are progressing, but you get instructions from Amma that you are not progressing, then that means you are not progressing. It is a kind of delusion. So the more and more a person tries to do this sadhana, the more and more bliss will emanate from such a person. We'll continue with the next sadhana in the next day. Hari Om.